Mike answers questions regarding everything from getting respect from teenagers to nursing, and then he and Debbie get caught up discussing homeschooling from life instead of books.
All right, do you have any question you'd like to ask? Just say it good and loud so they can pick you up with the tape and the camera. Stand up and ask your question.
What if you have like a 15-year-old that speaks to you just a little bit disrespectfully? What would you do if you kind of knew it applying it?
All right, she says, what if you got a 15-year-old that speaks to you just a little bit disrespectfully? The reason the 15-year-old speaks to you disrespectfully is because he doesn't respect you. And the reason he doesn't respect you is because you haven't demanded respect. The fact you said he speaks, progressive tense, he's done it more than once, he's done it, he does it again, means that he has developed a habit, a pattern. And all he needs to start respecting you is for you to demand it. And the way you demand it is when he speaks to you disrespectfully, whatever it is that it's about. For instance, if you say to him, clean up your room, and he gives you some retort that's not respectful, you say to them, I don't appreciate the way you talk to me, so after you clean up your room, I want you to go outside and rake all the leaves up. Also, he says, we never rake leaves. You say, I know that, but you're going to rake them this time because you spoke to me disrespectfully. And if he's still disrespectful, say, okay, not only are you going to rake leaves, but you're also going to trim the hedges. He says, we don't have any hedges. I know you're going to trim the neighbor's hedges. And just let him know that you're dynamite. You're quiet, cool, composed dynamite sitting there ready to explode into an endless chain of work and responsibility if he doesn't talk to you right. I guarantee you, when he starts hurting, he'll start talking to you right, because he'll know you're worthy to be respected. You're big mama. All right?
At what age do you, or maybe for Debbie, wean your children? I have five children, and I've weaned all the other ones earlier, getting into that crying, you know, want me to nurse all the time. What do you do with that when they start?
I never weaned them.
In our community, as the child eats, the more they eat, the less they nurse. And so I didn't try to wean my children until they were over 2 years old. And by then, they were eating so much. My little boys, of course, were very large, and so they were eating a whole lot. And they weaned sooner than the girls did. But the more you feed them, but a child that is slightly insecure or maybe cutting teeth or a little bit sickly, you know, they'll want to nurse more. And in our community, too, sometimes a mother will nurse all the way through a pregnancy and end up nursing two of them at a time. It doesn't seem to be any problem.
Everybody's equipped that way. All right. Another question.
How do you take care of the animals and not homeschool?
All right. We've got the homeschool expert here. And stand right there so they can see you, just like that, and still talk on the mic.
Okay,
the question was, she has homeschool kids and a couple of small ones that play in the playroom while she's trying to teach the other ones, and the small ones keep fussing and fighting, and she wants to know how to manage those small children while she's teaching the others.
Okay, I'm just going to give you an example of what happened this week. This week, I am keeping a 9-year-old that was in an accident. He's got a cast from here down, sticks out like that. And so I need to homeschool him because he's away. And then I was keeping three other children that were 2, 5, and 7. And I needed to homeschool them for their mother because she was occupied doing something. So I set the 2-year-old counting money. And so she had nickels, pennies, quarters, and then I thought, well, I'll just put all of them counting money. And so they all had about $100 worth of change on my kitchen table, and we separated pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters. And before it's all over, the oldest child, who is a public school child that's in the cast, he didn't know what a nickel was. Didn't even know what a nickel was. The homeschool
child... There's nothing
child,
that cheap in Dallas.
The homeschool child is seven or eight. I can't remember how old he is. Anyway, he could, you know, he was counting money like you couldn't believe. But anyway, before the day was over, all of the older children understood what multiplication meant. They had the quarters lined up to where they could quickly count out $100 straight in the line with quarters and dimes. And that is far better than books. People get so separated from life by working in books. I've homeschooled now for about 23 years. And the longer I homeschool, the more I realize how useless books are when it comes to teaching a child math and language skills. The way I teach math and have always taught math is by using something to count. Take, for instance, the way you taught, you know, wire.
Okay, when we were on the, when the boys would go with me to auctions, we make all the auctions when they were 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old and older, and we'd buy, always looking for wire, like house wiring, half a roll, piece of a roll to use, or cable, or extension cords, whatever. And so a lot of times we'd see a roll of wire there, and it'd be 15 loops of it, and say 2 foot across. So we would figure out the diameter times pi, and how many loops there was, multiply it by that, pi being 3.14. And so if it was like 2 foot across, we knew it was about 6.5 feet around. And if there's 10 rolls, then it's about 65 feet. And so just, I taught the boys how to very quickly figure in their head how many feet was in that roll, and then how much is a 250-foot roll? It sells for about $38 for 12-2 with ground. And so what percentage of a 250-foot roll is that? That's ratios, decimals, fractions. And so what percentage of that $38 is that? So say this is worth $9 on the market, then we're willing to bid, say, up to $4. We're not going to pay any more than that. And so they learned math with me at auctions while kids were sitting in school bored to death. Then later, Gabriel, by the time he got about 16, was working in construction, and the men would cut their rafters by getting up there and holding a rafter up, hold it so high, put a mark at the bottom for the bird's mouth, and then take a level, make a straight line at the top for the contact with the ridge, and crawl down and cut two of them, put them up there. If they liked it, they'd cut all of them to match. Well, he said, isn't there a faster way? I said, yeah. It's in this book right here called Builders, Tools, and Math. I said, figure it out. He said, you show me. I said, I don't know. It's in this book, though. Figure it out. Well, he sat down. He opened the book. He worked on it one evening. He went back to the job. He said, no, that's not the way to do it. Let me tell you. You don't know anything, boy. Yeah, I do, too. Let me tell you. He gets his calculator out. He said, you need to cut it 13 foot 2 inches long, and you need a 23 and 1/2 degree cut right there, and the bird's mouth needs, and oh, you know what you're talking about. So after 4 or 5 weeks of that, they cut one, tried it. How'd you do that? Right here, see? And he shows them how to do it. I still don't know how to do it. But he does. He can stand on the ground and figure out the cuts. You know how you take hip jacks and valley jacks, and you have to cut those different lengths to make them be on a 16-inch center or a 2-foot center? Well, he knows how to do all that now. You can do it with a square. You can do it with a calculator. And so he just learned that on his own. So that's homeschooling. And we've had homeschoolers at 10 or 12 years old far smarter than people graduating high school.
I had a young adult come to my house and say, you know, I can't do any math at all. I've gone through books, but I avoid situations where I have to handle math, to where they wouldn't even cooperate on, like when a women's group would get together and they would play games or keep score or anything like that. She was just socially standoffish because she could not do math and couldn't read well either.
Couldn't even keep a 1 through 10 score.
So I sat her down and said, okay, I am the clerk and you are buying a piece of gum and you give me a dollar bill and I'm going to cheat you. And you've got to figure out which time, because you're going to be buying chewing gum for me every day, or Coca-Cola, every day it's going to be different. So I would play a game with her. And so I would have change, and she would pretend like she was handing me a dollar bill, and I would count out the change backwards with her. You know, okay, it's 17 cents, we got 18, 19, 20, now you get a dime, now, you know, pulling her through like that. I would do it over and over and over again. And she would, oh, you know, how will I ever learn? And I said, well, you'll be real good in fractions because you know fractions real well already. She said, I don't know what fractions are at all. I said, well, don't you know that a half a pie? Oh, yeah, I know what a half a pie. Well, do you know what a fourth of, oh, yeah, I know what a fourth of a pie. Well, do you know what an eighth of a pie? I know what an eighth of a pie is. So if you have two full pies and three pieces left that's cut in eighths, and you've got two and three eighths, and she goes, is that what that is? You know, she was a smart woman, but because she'd been taught in books, it just never registered. And in homeschooling, that's where you start. You start in the kitchen, you start on the job, and when you have little ones, they start there with you. We have a couple in our church that they decided to teach their son to read by signs. So every time they
road
would
signs.
Road signs. Every time they would go anywhere, from the time he could talk, they made him read signs. So the time he was like three, he could read all the signs down Interstate 40. Everything, you know, all the, you know, that's the Cracker Barrel, and that's this. You know, he could read all the signs, and he never had to learn the normal way. He was he reads on an adult level now at about 9 years old. He can read anything he wants to. He goes through all of my books to see what he wants to read about herbs or medicine or anything like that. And the way they taught him math is the daddy had $1,000 in a big barrel. Dollar bills, $5 bills, $10 bills, change. And he told the boy, he said, you're going to count this money every night until you can count it right. That boy counted that money for months. Every night you knew what to expect if you went to their house. He was sitting at the kitchen table counting money. And finally, and then he would have to add up his dollar bills. You know, okay, my dollar bills, I have $127 bills, and I have 15 fives. You know, he'd have to add it all up and try to figure out how much he had. And he is a mathematician on top. You know, that's homeschooling.
Yeah, I remember the mother, she was raised Amish and didn't have a very high education. I think eighth grade, which would be about equal to a fifth or sixth grade public school. And when her boy got off about 6 years old, she said, came Deb distressed, she said, you know, she said, he's old enough, I'm going to have to send him to school or something. She said, I'm just not smart enough to homeschool him. Deb said, well, I understand he reads. Yeah, he reads, but I just don't know what to do to teach him. She said, well, I understand he can do some math. Yeah, his daddy taught him to do some math, but said, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what books to use or anything. Deb said, look, he's already 2 or 3 years ahead of his age group. What are you worrying about teaching him for? Well, he's staying ahead of his peers, and he's still not in school. How do they do that? Playing with money, playing with road signs on the job, and his daddy's got this habit. He reads Reader's Digest, and he got those 20 words. You know what I'm talking about? Well, the daddy also is educating himself, so he always memorizes those 20 words every month. When he's driving along in the truck with the boy, he says, what's a bovine? And then he tells the boy. Well, the boy's learning these 20 words every month with his daddy. They just play games all the time with these words as they're driving along. Well, the kid's got this broad vocabulary, and the daddy hadn't had time to homeschool him yet. They just have fun when they're riding along in the truck. You get the idea? Homeschooling is life, not something you stop doing, stop life, and then homeschool. That when a kid gets bored, you're not teaching them anything. If you can't keep it interesting, then you're failing. Okay, another question.
The biggest struggle I'm having right now with chores is not necessarily outward rebellion or stomping or whatever. It's much more subtle. It's constantly being distracted and kind of dawdling and playing around with the siblings and being silly and, oh, I heard somebody at the door, checking the door, talking to me, answering me, asking me 60, 80 questions, and it just takes forever to get anything done. And I've tried to put the motivation on him by saying, okay, if you're done or not, at this point, we start doing this. And then when we're done, then you start back with your chores. And if you never get to go outside and play and wash your dishes, well, then that's fine. But is there anything that I can do to kind of help motivate, because this dawdling and this constantly trying to be distracted to avoid doing their work in a reasonable amount of time?
Okay, you heard what she said. She said she has several children there, and they just dawdle, just waste time, don't ever get around to actually doing what they're supposed to do, keep do their work, don't do their chores, don't do their schoolwork, whatever. And it sounds to me like what she's saying is the house is structured in a disorganized way. We talked about that children need some structure, they need some organization. And what it seems to me like what you have is not a people problem, either mother or children. What you've got is an organizational problem, which means that you're going to have to restructure that situation. That may mean separating the kids if you're doing some schooling. It may mean isolating them from telephone or from visitors or from other events that are distracting. For instance, when I write, I retire to my office and don't bother me. My wife doesn't bother me. The kids don't bother me unless it's an emergency. They know that that time is set aside for me to write. So leave me alone. The call comes in, I got to talk to Mike. Well, you can't talk to him now. You can talk to him in 3 hours. I have to delegate time for certain things. You will need to do that for your children. You will say, this time is set aside for this purpose, and that's all you do. And like you say, if you have a 4-hour play period and their work or school chores don't get done in time, just let it eat up that play period. It eats the whole thing up fine. It's good to have incentive built into what children are doing. For instance, if they get their job done early, they get off early. If they get it done well, get it done early, fine. We had a mother write us and say that she was teaching her children some subject, and she told them, she said, if you get through with this early, then you can go out and play. Was it play or some other chore they were doing outside? Okay, animals. They had animals there, a little farm-like place. So the kids were getting in there and doing their schooling in half the time. They were learning it better because they weren't saying, okay, I got to sit here for 3 hours. They were thinking, I've got to learn this and get this done, then I can go outside and play with the animals. So they were getting through with their school by 9 o'clock in the morning. And then they're going out and working with the animals. Well, she told her next-door neighbor, who also homeschools, about it. Next-door neighbor says, well, I'll tell you what, I have got some science books that you can put them to going through to finish out the rest of the morning. Well, that's poor thinking, see. That would destroy the children's incentive. So build in some kind of incentive to get this done, and build in an incentive to not dawdle. In other words, if you take longer, I'll add you to your work. If you don't get this job done now in 20 minutes, I'm going to double it. Not only will you not play today, you won't play tomorrow. You're fixing to eat up your whole week's playtime. Just make it painful to dawdle and make it rewarding not to. And they'll get in there and take care of, manage their own time. But if you just say, you've got to sit there for 5 hours and be quiet, or sit there for 5 hours and do school, I'm going to sleep at least 4 of those hours. It's going to bore me to death, and I can understand it would the children.
As always, we hope you are blessed by what you've heard today. And again, remember to check out our great weekly online specials.